Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Bolts and Bolts podcast. We're out here at Nitro Cross in Las Vegas, Nevada for the finale event in the series to announce some exciting things with Sierra Car here. I've brought what is arguably probably one of the better looking employees at Hypercraft, Kirk Miller here. He has a little bit of information about the Sierra car behind us that's now going to be participating in the Nitrocross series. So I wanted to bring him on and kind of talk about what this car is, why it's important, how it fits into the Nitrocross lineup of vehicles, what it means for the drivers and for the audience. There's really no one better to talk about it than Kirk Miller. So to start us off, Kirk, what can you tell us about the Hypercraft powered Sierra car as it pertains to the Nitrocross event?
Sure. So first off, as Logan mentioned, you know, this is the kickoff. This is the debut of the car, our introduction to Nitrocross, Nitrocross real feel for what this vehicle is capable of, with select hand-picked drivers actually taking test laps in the vehicle. But what it means to the series itself is, and where we fit in, it's actually a rung in the ladder. So Nitrocross has always had sort of a feeder series. They have the side-by-sides, they have the RX2 or the next cars, and then they have the FC1s. They were looking for another EV-powered vehicle to be a rung on the ladder and to fit someplace between the side-by-side and the next cars. Well, as it turns out, Sierra car is an awesome option for that. So with the power-to-weight ratio, that makes it super fun, super fast, and it makes it really, you know, Sierra car has always been a driver-centric car. With the electric power that Hypercraft brings to the table and the power-to-weight ratio that it has, 1,500 pounds, just over 300 horsepower, this is a vehicle that you're not going to have the driver running out of car. This is a vehicle that's going to allow the driver to continue to try to refine his style lap by lap to knock off those tenths. And because it's EV and because Hypercraft has actually locked the firmware, these vehicles are matched in power. So whoever wins the race is the fastest driver. So all of these things feed into, A, the ideal feeder series, because you're going to see who the best drivers are. Cream is going to rise to the top, but also it's a vehicle that really performs. You know, we've talked about the Sierra car being sort of the Swiss Army knife of vehicles, and I've mentioned it before a couple times to other people, but it's worth saying again and again, because it's a unique scenario where you have a car that handles really well on pavement with slicks, if you want, or, you know, a dual purpose tire, really well in sand, really well in dirt. It doesn't care where it's living, but it'll work well. And then to be able to run in a multi-surface event like this in Nitrocross, and what Nitrocross is going to continue to throw at it, this thing should be in its element. We're going to be able to really see what it's able to, you know, what it's able to put on as far as A, a show, and then B, a vehicle, but C, let's find those great drivers.
Yeah. And you talked about how this is a feeder for the other levels in the sport. What kind of drivers can be driving a car like this? What level of experience does that take?
So that's really interesting. So the better the driver, obviously, the better. But that being said, people who are coming, we've had people who are professional athletes, you know, athlete stars that are high visibility, that have done some racing in several different disciplines, maybe it's side-by-side, maybe it's motocross. This is a perfect vehicle for them to get into. Because of it's the way it's set up and it's easy to throttle steer, it's an amazing vehicle for them. But then the professionals want to step back into this and have fun. Because, hey, again, you're not going to outdrive the car. The car's going to outdrive you. So even a professional is going to be, you know, they're going to have to work to find the limits of how fast the car can get around the track. So, and then the up-and-coming, that's what we're really excited about, is the up-and-coming driver. And then, you know, the viewers, the people sitting out there looking at this car saying, wow, that's really cool, and wow, I really love what everyone's saying about it. This is a car that can be purchased off the showroom floor. It's Sierra car. So this is a car, you know, is it possible to have a car for everyone? And if there is, this is the closest thing that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, self-said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes... Talk to us a little about the accessibility, because racing is an expensive sport. I don't think there's really any way around that. But how does this fit in into the series from a financial perspective so that people can get involved? What does that mean for a driver who wants to move up in the races?
That's great. Yeah, so great question. So, you know, it was interesting. I was listening to the president of FIA talk about the karting series that are feeder series to get to an F1. You know, F1 position. They're saying that a kid who's 10 or 12 years old is going to have to spend $275,000 a year on a budget to run a campaign, a go-kart.
Yeah.
And he's furious. He's like, we need to open the doors. We need more people to come in. How do we do that? Well, here again, with the Sierra car and the Hypercraft combination, our base car starts at $39,000. This is a $70,000 car. That's a lot of money. I'm not discounting the fact, but when you're talking about most cars, that to get into a level of vehicle with this, you're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of cars. Yeah. Speaking to some of the other drivers who've driven this already, they are always looking for that, even in what they're doing in the EV realm, they're looking for that run car. And they said, well, you can get into these cars that are kind of overpowered golf carts, you know, golf carts on steroids, and that's not really the right thing. They're just lower powered race cars, but they're safe, good race cars, but they're extremely expensive. And then you don't get to go that fast. And then the next level is your Formula E. What's in between that? That's exciting, that's fast, and it's accessible. Sierra car.
Yeah.
So that's really critical to our mission, is to have a vehicle that it's accessible to as many people as possible out there. Again, for feeder series, for recreational use, for whatever, but for here, it lowers the cost barrier dramatically.
And so this is kind of the first foray onto the Nitrocross circuit for this car. Do you have some information about how this is performing on that mixed surface, like the dirt and the gravel and the asphalt?
Yeah, so
how's it looking out there?
It's looking great. So we've had three drivers run through the car, just a few laps each, and it's been really awesome to watch them go from lap one, which is a sight lap, but then to continue lap by lap and just knock off seconds at a time. But to watch them, you know, from the aerial view, from us in the tower looking down at them, to watch them go from dirt to pavement to dirt to elevation change to a turn off camber, and just be able to carry the same degree of drift all the way through and managing with throttle, it's just been phenomenal to watch. So the feedback, the best response you can get from a driver is like huge smile getting out.
Yeah.
No complaints, and then just saying, I want to drive it. I want to drive more. Actually, we had one driver, not her fault, but she did run a couple of extra laps because the flag didn't come out, but she had no complaints about that.
It's easy to do. I've driven it, and it's hard to imagine that the car that I drove with, limited experience with fast cars is the same car that's out here.
That's right.
The accessibility is kind of amazing to think that, I drove this and it's been out here with professional drivers, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note the safety aspects of this. Having a full safety system built into it for the batteries, for the temperatures, for the current, so the driver, the vehicle, the people working on the car, or even corner workers in the event of an off. There's a number of safety features built into that keep everyone around the car and the people in the car safe. So that's really critical as well. And that's an expensive component of building an EV, making sure you have safety strategies built into it.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but these, when you buy it, are ready to race, basically.
There's no
safety systems that need to be integrated. There's no, obviously the roll bars are already there. Like, it's ready to go, right?
This is ready to race. My recommendation is, you go through your suspension settings, you go through your suspension actually settings for tow and camber and everything, make sure that matches what style you're driving in, set the tire pressures, torque the lug nuts, and go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I got one more question. I know you got a lot going on because there's a lot of drivers here, there's a lot of action going on.
Appreciate that.
So when I was watching the drivers that were driving the Sierra car out there, my first thing that I noticed was, this is a rear-wheel drive car. This handles in a specific and in an entertaining kind of way. How does the rear drive powertrain in this compare to some of the all-wheel drive systems that we see in the other cars, and what does that mean for the driver? And from a spectator perspective, I thought it's kind of cool to watch this because they get a little squirrely, they get a little bit, you really got to be able to drive it, and that's kind of exciting. So tell me a little bit about how that compares to the other cars.
So So to compare it to an all-wheel drive car, obviously it's at a disadvantage coming off a corner because you have two wheels propelling the vehicle versus four wheels. The other side of that, again, going back to Sierra's mission, is to create a driver-centric car. It's the driver who gets it around.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. It's entertaining to watch. And from a driver perspective, it's somewhat easy to control.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun for the driver and the spectator alike. Yeah. So
I feel like it offers that easy to drive setup that anyone can really drive. But also, when you're pushing it, you have to be able to drive really well to manage that oversteer. But for the spectators, all they see is just a lot of excitement, I think. And I think that's something that is often overlooked, is this is an entertainment sport,
Right.
It's about going fast and it's about winning, But there's a lot of people here just watching for fun, and I think that they're going to get a lot of entertainment. I've seen, you know, the rooster tails coming off of this, the dust that's blowing around. So
yeah, you can, from a driver's perspective. So a lot of these cars, if you're not familiar, they have a handbrake, and that handbrake locks the rear wheels to rotate the vehicle if needed. So you can be coming into turn. If you're understeering, you can tap the handbrake, lock up the rear, and rotate it a little bit, come back on the power. In this case, because we have the regen built into it, so when you come off throttle, there's almost like a D-cell on an ICE engine that'll actually help you rotate the vehicle a little bit. So the drivers today hardly ever had to use the handbrake at all. So there, the car would set up and just a D-cell and then come back in. So the trail braking in would let the car rotate a little bit. And then as it settles in, you can come in with throttle and carry it out, to your point, you know, the exciting long, big, long drift with the rooster tail coming off it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the drivers. But again, driver-centric car, and it's entertaining to watch.
And because of that regen, you're kind of one pedal driving, though, because it's slowing you down and accelerating.
Yeah, the regen's at the bottom, but yeah, you can use that to a degree. You know, come in heavy, you're going to use the braking, but to get the car rotated, you can do a lot with the throttle versus having to use the handbrake.
Very, very cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Kirk, what else, is there anything else that we want to cover? Like, is there something that they should know about what we're doing and why it's exciting?
Again, this is for a car for all ages. We talk about the peak performance and the power to weight ratio. The other side of it is that we have map switching, so you can bring the power down, you can bring the vehicle speed, and you can put a 10 or 12 year old who understands the controls of the vehicle and stick them in the car and let them rip. You know, so let them have fun. So this is not only a rung in the ladder for the driver, you know, development programs here, but this at home is a driver development program for a child who's young, or young individual that's going from go-karts into cars and then getting a feel for the speed and the power and the way the suspension works, and then wicking up the power just by hitting a button.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome. You know, and again, to be here, to debut it, man, I hope a lot of people here come by. The steering wheel pops off, people can get in the car and they can feel what it's like to be inside the car. And then we're gonna have track events out, you know, throughout between now and September. We're gonna have several track events, so we're gonna bring in drivers, introduce them to the car, and as many people as possible get in the car and drive it.
Okay. And if they want more information, where can they look to find more information about this car and potential series updates?
Yeah, so obviously nitrocross.com, but also for us, in the powertrain side, if you wanna see all the things that we offer, it's hypercraftusa.com, and then Drive Sierra. If you wanna see more about the vehicle itself, drivesierra.com, you see all the different platforms there.
Okay. Cool. And there's a lot coming. This is just the beginning.
You know, what you get to see here is what we've been working on for a year and a half. So we've got an awful lot in the pipeline, so there's a lot more coming.
That's very true, right. Very true. We're just taking off right now, so that's
right.
Awesome. Kirk, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll check in with you again. We can talk a little more in the future.
Anytime.
Okay, thank you, Kirk.
Thank you.
Okay.